I'm Charles Breton.
And I'm Chris Henson.
And we are a Jew
and a Gentile walk into a bar mitzvah.
All right, so welcome to A Jew and a Gentile Walk into a Bar Mitzvah, the podcast. This is episode 46.
I thought it was 44B.
No, because we went from 44A to 46. We just skipped. We're pretending like 45 doesn't exist.
That's rather hard to do that today, Charles.
Yeah, but we try.
But, we do.
Yeah. And, well, we're trying, as people say. And this is a podcast where we always want to wrestle with the deep theological questions, such as, why is Mark's account of Jesus turning a pack of Marlboros into a box of Cohibas left out of the Bible? Yeah, no, you just want to move on from that one. By the way, they were Cuban Cohibas, because this was obvious. Jesus was pre-embargo.
Little bit.
Yeah. So need to acknowledge our sponsors. There's actually people who pay us and give us things to do this.
When did that happen?
I got two free bottles of Men of the Beard oil.
What the hell? When did that happen?
At Wild Goose.
I had to pay for mine.
Yeah, because that was before they sponsored us.
Wait.
Never mind.
See, still the best Christian Shaman beard oil on the market.
Absolutely. Men of the Beard oil. It's wonderful. Virgil Cain rye whiskey, the official rye whiskey of a Jew and a Gentile. Well, mainly just a Jew. The Gentile's working on it.
It's an acquired taste. I enjoy it. I enjoyed the Manhattan you made a couple weeks ago.
Thank you. And I'll be making old fashions later.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
Something else out here old-fashioned other than Jeff. So,
yeah. Trucker Jeff is here.
Stacy also enjoys the...
Well, that's why she married Jeff, because she enjoys an old-fashioned.
Oh, I was going to make a beard oil joke, but...
No, I was just going for the old age thing. It's a lot easier. Let me get on our third sponsor before you start getting us off the rails, as if we were on it to begin with. The Pipe and Pint in Greensboro on Market. Or excuse me, on Spring Garden. Best humidor this side of Havana. I'm looking at Chris. He wants to say something, but he can't think of it.
You beat me to it, man. I'm just actually enjoying the cigar that our host tonight has provided us with, or at least one of them.
I smoked it last week. Why don't you describe it, review it? What do you have?
I have the Espinosa Alpha Dog. And be a Habano kind of wrapper. I don't know. I didn't look it up, man. This is the first I've laid eyes on this cigar.
Well, what does your palate tell you? How toothy is the wrapper?
It's actually just slightly toothy.
Okay.
A very tobacco-y taste. I've not even barely got the foot lit yet. I mean, it needs to develop in the palate, man. Somebody just had to get started early. Well, early by our standards. So, you had it last week. You tell me about it. Tell me what I'm smoking, Charles.
Yeah, it's
brown. It's brown and it's round.
Yeah, it's round. It's a Habano wrapper.
Okay, I got that right. I'm tasting Nicaraguan, I think.
Right, a little bit of spice, not too much. Sort of
so
on the
it's
back.
It's going to get earthy in a minute.
It'll get very earthy in a minute. And that pepper spice will kind of come in and out on it.
It's really well made, and it just great flavor. It's got a lot of depth to it.
Yeah.
Just in a little bit of smoke. And is this from Cigars International?
That's the Hamburg store we are being told by Trucker Jeff.
It's been a while since we've had been over here at Trucker Jeff's and Trucker Jeff.
Yeah, and
a week.
Yeah. So yeah, we're here in lovely Advance. With Trucker Jeff and Miss Burke County, 1982.
Enjoys the beard oil.
Yeah.
Hers is in really nicely. All right.
Okay. Nothing. So I'm smoking the
Charles,
Hoya de Nicaragua Red.
Red?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even want to hear that because I know what you have in there because this is a night to celebrate.
And yeah, I survived my first week of class.
As the employed professor.
Yeah, almost a professional professor.
Well, don't push it. You've only done it for a week.
Yeah, it's true. So actually, my students should be the ones celebrating. They're the ones who survived.
Well, just 1 week of it.
Yeah, but I
saw what you had in your box.
Yeah, I do have an Andalusian bowl that I'm holding on to. But we're gonna smoke that later. After we finish recording, we have dinner, crack open a bottle of wine. Cut open that Andalusian bowl, and sit back and relax. But let me tell you about the Joya de Nicaragua red that I'm smoking. Full-bodied as Joya de Nicaragua. Not quite as full as their other stuff.
It's such a good cigar, though.
The
price point on that one is just...
Esteli and Jalapa wrapper, excuse me, binder, Nicaraguan Habano wrapper on it. Beautiful nutty pepper, and just a nice coffee hint to it. And as always with Joya, it's got a wonderful, well-constructed, smooth wrapper. Maybe not my Andalusian bowl, but I'm definitely enjoying it.
Oh, well, good. I'm happy for you. Yeah. I'm happy for the two of you.
Thank you.
You didn't even mention last time I had one of those. It had a buttery toast kind of taste to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've just started. I haven't gotten to where that toastiness comes in yet.
We have a guest this evening, Jenny Capper, who we learned about from a friend that I apologize. I cannot remember. I don't even know if I asked the name. But she came up after we did our talk at Wild Goose. On the intersection of faith and mental health, saying that she had a friend that did a YouTube diary of her ECT journey. And that's who we're going to have on the show tonight. Jenny, we welcome you all the way from the other side of the Rockies.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very excited. This is really exciting. I'm gonna really enjoy this.
Well, and we're touched because I mean you were featured on the Dr. Oz, so we're a step down, and by step down I'm being nice to us.
Oh my goodness, no.
If there was a floor in podcasting, we're two levels below.
We're looking up at it.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're like click and clack, except alive. And untalented.
Yeah.
And know nothing about cars. Yeah.
I love it.
So, Jenny, tell us a bit about your project there. You have the YouTube channel that chronicles about 2-4 years of ECT and transcranial magnetic stimulation as well. And
yeah.
You have an accompanying Facebook site. And I heard in one of your posts, a pending blog, maybe?
Yes. So, which is hopefully, I am praying, is going to go live next week. That is the goal.
Oh, we have to shamelessly plug that.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was diagnosed with depression when I was 16, and I started taking medication, and that actually worked for me very, very well throughout high school. And then I got to college. My first year of college was great. And then when I turned 20, my sophomore year, the medication stopped working. I went through about 10 to 12 different medication cocktails over the course of about 3 years, and absolutely nothing worked. It was awful.
Very treatment resistant, yes.
Medication resistant, yes, definitely. So I went home from school. I had to drop out of school and go home because I was almost to the point where I was not functional. I was able to go to work most of the time. I had to call in sick quite a bit because just the depression was so, so bad. My husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, he's a researcher. He loves to research everything. And so he was very, very, proactive in researching different treatments and things that we could do. And I mean, I'm so, so thankful for him. And he's actually the one who introduced me to ECT. And the first time I heard about it, I was like, oh, hell no.
Right?
I am, yeah, right? I mean, I was just like, oh my God, like, are you kidding me? Like, absolutely not. Never in a million years will I ever have electricity sent into my brain. That just sounds
willingly.
Like some kind of Frankenstein, you know, kind of thing, you know? I just was like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Especially if you've seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Exactly. Requiem for a Dream.
That.
Or that.
That's what I was thinking of when I was impatient.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, both of those. I mean, because I had seen both of them and it was like, no, never. So about a year after he first told me about it, I was finally at the end of my rope. It was just unbearable. There was no way that I was ever going to be able to live a functional life in any capacity. So I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. So right before I started the treatment, I did my own research and I kind of went, read some blogs, read some kind of medical journals. And I also went on YouTube because I wanted to see if there were any testimonials. And I found a couple, but they were very vague and just, there wasn't a lot of good information. And so I really like to journal. I'm a big journaler and I also love making videos like just of my everyday life and going on vacation and that kind of thing. And so I kind of thought, well, maybe I could record myself, you know, just so I can kind of track my own journey. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, why not post it on YouTube? Because I, you know, maybe it'll help someone who like me was looking for something, an honest review on what was going on.
Yeah, so you're the first person I've talked to that has had ECT that hasn't been somebody I'm caring for inpatient. I mean, it was profound to stumble across it from a recommendation at Wild Goose to watching it. I was like, wow, I get that. I understand that experience. A lot of courage in being that vulnerable. And good. We need more people fighting against the stigma and silence around mental illness and treatment of mental illness.
I completely agree. And that was kind of my motivation behind that because, yeah, it is. I mean, it is very, you know, you feel naked almost, you know, kind of. I mean, that is such a, you know, that is as personal as you can get. And I was really nervous about it. And I was so scared to see what people's reactions were going to be. But I knew, I was like, I know that someone, at least one person is going to benefit from this and benefit from hearing someone's story, whether it be about ECT or just depression and anxiety in general. I think it is so important. And I love that there are so many celebrities nowadays who are coming out and talking about their mental illness and just, you know, I mean, there's definitely still a stigma. But I feel like things are moving in a good direction.
Yeah,
because so many people are being open. Yeah.
Well, I was mindful of like Carrie Fisher's Wishful Drinking, where she actually goes into her own experience of ECT.
Yes. I absolutely loved that. I listened to the audiobook, so it was actually her narrating it, and it was fantastic. I mean, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I just feel so connected to you right now. And I love her. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So, I mean, that was just wonderful.
Well, you're in
good
company.
But it's also, you know, the whole sharing, because as you were beginning your story, that's so many people's story, you know, that experience of, well, you know, I was identified with depression and we tried this medication and this medication. Finally found something that was fine for a while and then it doesn't work anymore. You know, that's something that a lot of people can definitely identify with.
Yes.
So even just from that very, very beginning, You know, your story just adds to these narratives, which gives a lot of power to people.
Yeah, and I was just watching it as recently as today, and just I would not, I didn't, well, you, Charles remembers back when I was still very, very much so depressed when we first started being friends, and that had nothing to do with the onset of the depression, Charles, before you say something smart ass. I mean, I would have not been able to even watch a YouTube video for lack of motivation, energy, and will. And I was just so blown away in a wonderful way of how you not only recorded on the good days, but also the not so good days, and weren't afraid to not talk about the really bad days.
Yeah.
And I just, wow. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. I think I never, you know, obviously when you're in the worst of the worst, I mean, there's really, I don't know of anyone who would be able to be in front of a camera and talking and post it online. But I definitely tried, even if I was feeling bad, I tried, especially in those first, I think the first five videos, I think that's when, I mean, that's obviously when I was doing the worst. So, I know there's one video, I think it's my,
Still recording though.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm trying. I have there's definitely people, that follow me, my subscribers who are always asking, oh, Tony, how you doing? You know? And so I kind of feel like, I mean, even though the ECT is done and the TMS is done, that I kind of want to keep talking to people and keep letting them know, okay, this is how I'm doing, because, you know, there are people who have to go back for maintenance, and, you know, I pray that I won't have to, but, you know, it could happen. And, you know, I want to be able to continue chronicling this journey. And then the blog that's hopefully going live next week will kind of be talking about post-treatment. And I'm sure you know how bad habits form during depression. And even when you are doing better and treatment has helped you, it's still easy to revert to those habits that you formed, you know, the helplessness, the learned helplessness, I feel like is something I really struggle with. And when a stressful situation comes up or I'm feeling sad, it's an automatic reaction to go down, like super down. Mm-hmm. And that's something I struggle with.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's really good that you're continuing the project, you're extending it with the blog, because it's also important for people to understand that it's not a cure, that this is something you live with. And so it's about just getting up every day and going about the process of living. And some days are easier than others.
I've often looked at it like my own recovery. And I always use that language, and it's kind of problematic because it's associated with persons dealing with addiction and a number of things. But there's not a day where I'm not a depressive, but I'm not a depressive who has needed ECT or medicine adjustments. But it is those practical daily goal setting and accomplishing that helps keep you out of that pit.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, that you're continuing with this, you know, with the blog. Demonstrates that, well, yes, you know, I went through this process of the treatment, but that doesn't mean that I no longer have depression. This is something that continues to be part of who I am. I also use a little bit of the you know, addict language. I refer to myself as a functional depressive.
Yeah.
You're being kind.
That's perfect.
Functional.
Am I wearing clothes today?
Wow.
So yes, I am for me that's functional. I'm not in bed and I'm out, so
it is.
You know, it's also like being the Hulk. You know, when he says, "Yeah, the secret is I'm always angry." Yeah, the secret is I'm always depressed. It's just how bad is it? And can I cope and still function today?
Right. No, that's the perfect way to put it. I mean, it's true. It's always going to be a part of us. It's always going to be something we have to struggle with, something we have to work on. But, you know, it's just learning the ways to cope with it. And, you know, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it with anything. And, you know, it's something, and I feel like what's really cool too about the YouTube channel and the blog and the coming blog, I feel like it almost gives me a little bit of an accountability check. Because there are people who want to know what's going on. And, you know, it's a motivating thing almost, that, you know, there's people who care and people who want to know how I'm doing. And, you know, I feel that I don't want to say obligation, but do you know what I mean? Like, just, I feel like I want to do better for other people to see that they can do better in a way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, we definitely understand that.
That's why we started our work together.
Right. Yeah. We made ourselves accountable. And that's why I was like, we each took a week that we would be responsible for posting on our blog. And so it was like, I can't let Chris down. I need to pull myself together sometime this week and post something.
Likewise.
Right.
And it's also, you mentioned your husband, then boyfriend, that having that supportive partner.
Yes.
It's also really key. I know that, when I lost my job back in March, I knew the signs. I knew my pattern and I knew when things were going to get bad and I could help and move some of those things. But, you know, having my wife also who could watch and just kind of say, all right, this is what I'm seeing. You know, let me know, sort of like with my mother when whenever we'd go out.
Marry your wife to your mother.
In a good way, not in a Freudian way.
Okay. Conversation.
No, so whenever we'd go out as kids, my mom didn't ask us what time we'd come home. She said, when do I panic? Okay. So, you know, Gail's like that. She would say, this is what I'm seeing. Just let me know, is this okay? Or at what point do I have to intervene?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so having that person really, really helps.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
So how has
such a blessing.
How has your, how's that project been for you? Like, is similarly therapeutic, or I don't know if that's the right word, but just that meaningful kind of, it's a motivator. Maybe that's the better word. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I feel like both work. I mean, it's been amazing. I have gotten such positive feedback. It's changed my life. I mean, people are so sweet and so nice, and they all, you know, even if what I've noticed, I was just telling my husband this the other day, it's interesting, even when people email me or message me and say, you know, ECT didn't work for me, they're still very positive about me sharing my experience.
Right.
And, you know, it's been really good. I mean, yeah, I've gotten some negative comments. I mean, that's what you ask for basically when you put yourself out there on the internet. But overall, I have just felt so loved and so much positive energy, and people really care and people are really thankful. And that makes me so happy. You know, like, obviously mental illness it sucks. It's the worst. And I am, you know, right. Sometimes I get so mad, you know, about it, but the fact that I've been able to help people because of it, it makes me really happy. And I love that.
I can stand as one of those helped by that. I wish that I'd known about it. I'm about 4 years removed though from my last treatment though, now that I'm thinking about it.
Wow.
The helpfulness. What if somebody's listening to this, you know, one of the seven people that listen to this post,
who aren't related to us.
Who aren't, so the three people.
Oh my gosh.
The three people somebody that's struggling with a mental illness and might be considering ECT. And I'd like to hear some more about TMS, because that's one that I knew about but didn't myself experience. What would you say to somebody that's just sitting in that spot that your blog, pending blog, and YouTube and Facebook site are really there to help?
Mm-hmm. I I feel like, and this is one thing I've really tried to emphasize on my blog, is this is my journey. This is what happened with my ECT experience. I try not to come across as recommending it to everyone, because obviously it's not going to work for everyone. It's not the right choice for everyone.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like I want to present my story, and I want to say this is how it helped me, because it did. It helped me so much. But it's not going to work for everyone. And, but there are other options. And right. I want to be there for people as a support. Like, if they want to write to me and tell me their story and they want advice, you know, I want to give that advice. A lot of people do write to me and ask me, do you think I should do ECT? And that's a tough one, because right. I obviously don't want to say, yes, do it, you know, because that's not my place. And that's not why I did this. I'm not trying to, you know, be a commercial for ECT at all.
Right. It's just your experience. You know? And
exactly. Yeah. So I think that, with ECT and TMS, I wanted to share how those both helped me. And, you know, even medication, like I'm still taking medication, and it's kind of maintaining what those two treatments brought me to. And, you know, I really just wanted to create a community of people to come together. And, you know, people can talk to each other on my Facebook page and on, you know, throughout the comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create that safe place for people to come and talk to each other and be open and feel like they can be open, because I mean, I kind of made it that way by saying what I needed to say, saying what I could say about my experience. And then hopefully that would encourage people to feel comfortable to express themselves. And that has happened, which has been awesome. I've seen lots of conversation threads on both the Facebook and the YouTube pages. So it's been really cool. I've really, really loved seeing that grow.
Well, yeah, in mental illness, the biggest lie it tells the person suffering is the illusion that they're alone. We know one mm-hmm. in four persons will experience depression, a diagnosable level of depression, once in their lives.
And depression mm-hmm. in and of itself is also isolating.
Well, yes.
In addition yes. to the stigma itself.
The physical and exactly. the psychological.
Right.
Yes, right. So true.
Yeah, and that's... Again, we feel the same way, and in the preface on our blog page, we have that same message. This is things that helped us. But I think overall that it's the idea that the sharing and being open helped each of us, but we also know that helps other people. And that's a big reason why we invited you on, because we've had a number of guests for this specific purpose. You know, if we can help amplify your story and just reach just one more person, then it, mm-hmm. you know, that's one more person who's going to be getting some help.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
I have to ask, because ECT was a difficult and hard thing for me to experience. And I did mine, about a month and a half, darn near 2 months inpatient, the three a week, every other day, but I can look back now, and I just had some real funny moments. And not to make light of the procedure or the illness, I'm just kind of curious what kind of war stories, maybe, or I was always, when the nurse would say, like, well, you look nervous, what's wrong? I'm like, you're going to paralyze me and electrocute me. These are stress-inducing thoughts. Why is your heart rate so high? The hell?
You're like, okay, you know what you're going to do to me, right?
Yeah, I think it was more calm before heart surgery.
Yeah. Well, yeah. When the anesthesiologist says, now, though it's a small percent chance you could have recall. And what the hell is recall? Well, that's where you're paralyzed, but you're completely awake to what we're doing to you. And I was like, I did not even know to be stressed about that until just then.
You're like, awesome. Thanks for that. Oh, my gosh.
Just quit going through the checklist, Chief. We're good. For some damn reason, every time they wheeled me in there over the course of a year or more, whatever reason, they're always listening to the greatest hits of Van Morrison. I can't hear Brown Eyed Girl without shitting my pants now. Not that I have a problem with shitting my pants anyway.
Right.
We've all gambled and lost. Will there be more video posts?
Yes, most definitely.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to keep up with the videos. I kind of had a break there from, I think I posted my second to last video I posted last July, I think. And then I just did one in July. So it was like almost a year. And I think, yeah, like lots of stuff has been going on in my life. So I kind of dropped that down, and I'm trying to kind of build back up. I've been being a lot more successful at work, and things have been good. And so I kind of was focusing on that, but this is something I want to come back to and really be on top of it, and reaching out to people and, you know, continuing this. And so there definitely will be more videos, and then the blog, hopefully, you know, like I said, going live next week.
I have an idea for a website for that. 867-5309. Jenny, I mean,
yeah,
it's the marketing's already in place.
You already have a theme song.
I know. Yeah. I know, right? I should just have that playing in the background when people go on. That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, we're obviously going to have the YouTube link on our show page, but make sure you send us the blog link as soon as that goes live, so we can make sure we put that up also.
Yes.
Most definitely. Yeah. It's going to be, it's actually going to be called findinglifeagain.com. That's what the name is. So, I'll be sending that.
It's a lot easier to remember than 867-5309 if you weren't born in the 80s, too. I mean, it's a different graphic.
I mean, that's a great idea, though. If I hadn't already bought the domain name, I might actually consider that. So.
Well, if you bought it, it's probably already been taken. But
yeah, I think Tommy Two Tone took that already.
Probably.
I think there's just such a need for what you're doing. I know at the hospital I work at, we've unrolled a new program called Peer Support Specialists, which is actually ran out of the University of North Carolina that shall not be named in Chapel Hill. But
who didn't get on probation,
public school kids. No, and it's for folks that have come through either substance abuse issues and or mental illness and have achieved some level of health. And it's just really a program pays even.
Jeez, you can do mine volunteer.
You can bill it to third parties, actually. It's a real thing. But it's folks like Jenny's doing. Yeah.
I got to talk to Cone because mine's volunteer.
Well, you don't have a substance abuse. Well, you do, but you're not in recovery.
No, but that's basically what I do at cardiac rehab.
I know that's what you do.
That's what I'm saying. They're not paying me.
Well, you need to go get the one for mental health.
No, I just need to get them to pay me the one for cardiac.
No, don't hold your breath.
Well, I've made a bet with the assistant director. She went to Texas A&M. And if Florida wins tomorrow night, she has to pay me for my service Monday.
Well,
and so, if A&M wins, then I'll work for free.
So she's going to not lose much money this weekend, I take it.
No.
It's nice to hear your heart's in your work, though, Charles. That's the important bit.
Actually, it's nicer to hear that it's in my chest and still beats.
I'm fond of that.
As am I.
I am, yeah.
Let's get back to our guest.
I wish you would.
Hey. I'm enjoying this.
Did we get that recorded?
See, I told you somebody would enjoy what we do.
Did you record that? Somebody said they enjoyed this? That isn't a blood relative?
Yeah.
Nothing yet.
This was, although we are shamelessly plugging her YouTube and her blog.
Jenny's ECT journal YouTube and the Facebook page is the same name. Mm-hmm. And we'll, of course, put it up on our site.
Yay!
And our social media.
Well, we want to thank you for taking time and sharing your story with us as well. And like I said, we're going to put up all that contact info on our website, and we're definitely going to be keeping in touch. And you got more people checking on you, making sure you're okay.
I really appreciate that. I've been able to, ever since Chris contacted me this summer, I've been able to listen a lot, and I love what you guys are doing, and it just makes me so happy. And you guys have the best banter ever.
Hey, so we're up to eight listeners now.
Yeah.
Yay!
No, thank you. Really, thank you.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Charles, are you going to say something wise?
I am.
I got. You know, every pencil can be a number two pencil if you eat it.
Yeah, I know you posted that on your.
That it doesn't count as words of wisdom.
No. Right. No. Although I was pleased the other night where you did actually say something nice about your wife on Facebook.
Yeah, I asked her if she was October 10th because she looks 10 out of 10 to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Twice on Wednesdays.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's your Shabbat.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. So our ending words of wisdom for this week. Did you know it's Lenny Bruce's birthday? If he were alive.
Oh, my God. There's so many ways you can go with Lenny Bruce.
Oh yes, yes. When I saw it was Lenny Bruce's birthday, I went deep.
Another member of the tribe.
Yes. But I think this one's appropriate, especially for the other part of our podcast, the faith part. And you'll not be surprised that this came from Lenny Bruce.
I think I know what you're going to say. But.
Okay. But you will be surprised because there's no foul language in it.
Oh, you've edited this.
No. He actually said stuff without cursing.
Okay.
So, in honor of Lenny's birthday, I think it's about time we gave up religion and got back to God.
Well, I'm Chris Henson, and I'm still the Gentile.
And I'm Charles Breton, and I'm still the Jew.
And we invite you to join us next time when a Jew and a Gentile walk into a bar mitzvah. I've been kicking myself for the things I should